Going All In podcast. This is episode 41. We're so excited to be back on the podcast again, another week. It seems like week after week, the episodes get closer and closer together. Mm-hmm. And it can be hard sometimes, you know, coming up with something to talk about every single week because we really don't like to just hop on here and just talk about and just everything. Rant and just spill yeah. our guts and what's freshest on our head. We really want to bring things to the table on our podcast that are actually going to be fruitful, things that are actually going to help you wherever you're listening to this, however you're listening to this. And sometimes it can be challenging week after week to feel like you're constantly bringing things to the table,
yeah.
especially when week after week, it feels like you're saying the same things.
Yeah.
But one thing that I know is that going all in requires us to go all in on one thing.
Yeah.
And so it's okay that we're repeating ourselves constantly because what we're repeating, that's what we're about, mm-hmm. going all in. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not going all in, about, you know, sometimes. It's not going all in on certain things. It's going all in with Jesus, first off, and doing that all the time. So, anyways, I'm already getting off a little bit. So, I preached a sermon a couple weeks ago at our young adult encounter at our church, and the sermon was titled, Who's Over Who? So, if you're just listening to this, or if you're on the video and I can see you or you can see me, who's over who? That first who's is spelt W-H-O-S-E. Like whose does this computer belong to?
Hmm.
Oh, it's mine. Okay. Whose? The second who's in who's over who is W H O. So like, hey, so and so did a good job. Who? So and so. You get that?
Yeah.
Who's over who? And really what the whole point of the sermon was to illustrate that, you know, whose you belong to is greater than who you are as a person, and ultimately who you belong to should be the only thing that speaks into
who you are
as a person.
Yeah.
And one of the main places that I took that sermon was that a lot of times we let things that we do flow and stream into who we are. You know, who are we? That's our identity. Mm-hmm. And we let the things we do speak into our identity. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I go to the gym. I find my identity by going to the gym. I do a certain line of work. I find my identity through that line of work. It's something that I do.
Hmm.
I'm a parent. I might find my identity through taking care of my kids.
Yeah.
I mean, the list could go on and on. Being a husband, being this, being that. And not necessarily all those things are bad.
No.
In fact, a lot of those things are that I mentioned right there are great things, but they are they're good things to do, but they're terrible to speak into who you are. Whose you are
mm-hmm.
is the most important thing. So I started out the sermon with a from scripture, and it's this moment where Jesus is being baptized by John the Baptist. And I won't read the passage we did during the sermon, but basically Jesus was baptized, and as he was being baptized, this is the clouds opened up and they heard a voice, and it says, "This is my son with whom I am well pleased." And that is a famous scripture. Most of us know that scripture. We've heard it, read it before. And it's important to understand the timing of that. This was in Matthew, I think chapter 3. And that's right before Jesus started his public ministry. The Sermon on the Mount was the first sermon Jesus publicly preached, I think. Don't quote me on that. But it's one of the first. It's probably the most famous. And that takes place from Matthew chapter 5 to chapter 8. So right before Jesus starts his public ministry and starts doing things, starts preaching and getting huge crowds to follow him, before he starts healing people publicly, before he starts casting out demons, before he starts raising people from the dead and doing amazing things, God spoke something over him, which is, "This is my son, whom I'm well pleased." And so it was a relational thing. Mm-hmm. God knew that it was important that Jesus had his identity coming from who he belonged to, which was God the Father. "This is my son." So Jesus, what this produced in him was this Godfidence. And that's what I talked about in Yay, is Godfidence is what? Confidence in God that, you know, he reigns supreme, and that's who I belong to. And if mm-hmm. who I belong to reigns supreme, I can walk each and every day with confidence.
Yeah. And I'm going to butt in with you there, because I think that this is a good episode for college-aged people who are it's fall, it's getting ready. You know, if you haven't already, you're getting ready to start fall classes. And we're all pursuing something in college that's eventually going to give us a title. You know,
hopefully,
you know, we're pursuing something, and a lot of times we can find our identity in that, and we can find our identity in what we're doing, and even maybe you're the opposite and you feel lost because you're taking college classes and you feel like you're not doing your purpose or whatever. And I think the moment that we feel purposeless based on something we are or aren't doing, that's like a red flag saying, "Hey, I'm actually finding my purpose in what I'm doing instead of like who I'm doing it for."
Yeah.
And that confidence that he's talking about, like when you have true confidence in college, you're not going to let the little anxieties speak into who you are, speak into to who you should be. I know a lot of people who get so I do this too, but if when I ever get a bad grade on even something with music, oh my gosh, yeah. I let it tear my identity up.
Oh yeah.
And I let it speak to me in a way like, maybe you weren't meant to do this.
Yeah.
Maybe you weren't meant to sing for the Lord.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not built good enough to sing. You're not built good enough to do this whole music thing. And
most of the time it all builds up in like 1 or 2 weeks. I mean, every time that I have an exam coming up,
oh
or
my
something,
gosh.
I mean, you get a first row seat to, like, I'm questioning life.
Yeah, he's like,
those couple of
I don't
days.
Know if I'm gonna be able to do this. And it's like, what I think of is like, we let things that literally are so small in compare to who God is, like, tear who we know we are up. Like he's already spoken those things over us, and we didn't even have to do anything for him to speak those things over us.
That's right.
I don't know if you mentioned it, but God spoke that over Jesus before Jesus ever did anything.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, and that's the crazy thing about it is, okay, so if he spoke this over his son, Jesus, and
we are co-heirs with Christ.
We are made in the image of Christ, then that's the same thing for us. Like, God is already speaking that identity and that affirmation over you before you ever do anything good enough, which what is good enough anyways, because we all fall short. We're not perfect. I mean, and it's from the small to the big things, you know? But he's already spoken that over you. So I think there's a call to live like he had, like live with confidence that he has, because a lot of times we know the truth, but we don't believe it because of our current situation or what we're letting speak into our life. And I mean, I can just think of so many times, and I know that I'm going to be anxious again these next two semesters, because that's just how I am. So I'm going to remember this episode the next time I get anxious about a singing quiz.
Yeah.
But like, if we seriously like took what God spoke over Jesus seriously, mm-hmm. and we applied that to maybe a situation we're getting ready to walk into where, you know, we're nervous, or, you know, something that we let speak into our identity is stripped away. If we walked into that situation with the same confidence and with the affirmation that God gave to Jesus, I think we would be a lot stronger in the end, mm-hmm. and we wouldn't be damaged as much if the situation didn't end how we wanted it to.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
well, okay. That's a perfect segue, mm-hmm. because my sermon started there with Jesus and the word that God spoke over him.
Mm-hmm.
It transitioned later into Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the, obviously, another famous story, the fiery furnace and all of that. But what most people don't know about the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I did not know this before I got into it, was that that wasn't their original names.
Mm-hmm.
They each had different names, and in the first chapter of Daniel, which is where the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego takes place, there was a switch of rulers in the country that they were living in. So it was Josiah. Mm-hmm. Josiah was reigning as king, and mm-hmm. he was a good king, the Bible says. But then it switched to Jehoiakim. Really trying to think of these names because I don't have them in front of me. And then it switched again to Nebuchadnezzar.
Uh-huh.
And Nebuchadnezzar was not a good man, and he was pagan. You know, he wanted to switch the nation from a Jewish nation, you know, a nation that at its roots honored God, and wanted to rewire a bunch of things into he wanted to be a pagan society.
Mm-hmm.
So he started doing things. He picked young leaders.
Mm-hmm.
He retrained those leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Reminds me of, never mind, I'm not going to go there. he gave them new diets, taught them a new language,
mm-hmm.
and gave them new names
that did not represent God.
And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it was Mishael, Azariah, and I can't think of Meshach's name.
It's fine.
But their names before their name switch were names that honored God.
Mm-hmm.
Then after the name changed, these names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they actually at their roots honor pagan gods. So here they are living their life in a society where an identity has been forced upon them outwardly, that everybody can recognize them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, pagan names. But on the inside, they know where their true identity comes mm-hmm. from. They knew what their names were.
Yeah.
You know, and if you walked up to Meshach and said, Mishael, he would say, huh?
Yeah.
Because that was his name.
Yeah.
They carried that with them.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I love that story is because these are real people living it out.
Yeah.
You know, and
they were literally stripped of everything.
Yeah. And talk about a stressful situation, because mm-hmm. that's what you were talking about. And that's why I said this is a perfect segue. A stressful situation. Yeah. That's literally what they walked into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about the temperature rising in our life, you know, things heating up, things getting a little tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. They know all about that.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that made them so special was
they walked into it with confidence.
Such confidence that they said, you throw us in this furnace, our God's going to save us. But even if he doesn't, we're still going to be faithful.
Mm-hmm.
That's what set those men apart.
That's some great
confidence. They did not care. if it burnt them to pieces, mm-hmm. because they understood the reality of what was ahead for them.
Yeah. So I'm going to pull another thing that I'm recently in my Jesus time. Kyle knows the behind the scenes of why this is my life verse. I'm not going to get into it, but we're talking about confidence in college and just confidence in that kind of confidence that they had walking into the fire. And I don't know if you get anxious about like, okay, college is getting ready to start, you know, we're walking into the fire of studying and exams and just a whole new season and a whole new routine and everything. And so I'm thinking about this verse that I have never had a life verse before, but if I ever did, it would be this one. And it's Ephesians 3:12. And it says, because I have faith in him, which God, I can approach him with
boldly.
Freedom and confidence. Freedom and confidence.
Yeah.
And I read a different translation the other day and it said boldness and confidence.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, freedom and boldness are along the same lines of the same meaning. They have the same, you know, and then that confidence. So if we know whose we are, then who we are is going to represent that freedom and confidence, and we're going to be able to walk into every situation that isn't necessarily the most comforting situation with the same freedom and confidence. Because if we can approach God, literally the creator of the universe, the one that made you, with freedom and confidence, then I think that we can approach everyone else with freedom and confidence, and everything else is fleeting. It's not temporary. So, I mean, if our fear of the Lord was more than our fear of fill in the blank,
yeah,
then we would be so much stronger.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that
we just have to be wise.
Wise.
Because the, mm-hmm. what is wisdom?
Yeah.
The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. It's like a freeing feeling when you can walk into a situation that isn't necessarily comfortable and you can still carry that freedom and confidence, not because of anything you do, but because you know the end goal and you know where you're going anyways, mm-hmm. and you know whose you are anyways.
Yeah.
So that's where whose you are speaks into who you are, because you're like,
yeah.
well, everything I can do is
I can
is,
you can do better
is
everything
not,
I can do anything you can do I can do
okay
better. Just
I was about on I was getting ready to speak something good and he interrupted me. Anyway, just kidding, but I lost my train of thought.
Okay. I got something, so I'll pick up where you left off, and then if you think
wait
of it,
I remembered
just
it
interrupt me.
I remembered it I remember it.
Okay, I really want to go. Okay, go, hurry. So I don't forget.
So we're in that situation, we're like, well, who I am isn't like what I do, and what I thought I could do isn't enough in this situation. So obviously whose I am is more valuable than who I think I could ever be.
Yeah.
So that's where whose you are is more important than who you are, because who you are is whose you are. So it's like interchangeable, you know?
Yeah. So I just mentioned something about, you know, you mentioned something about the fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That sparked me into wisdom,
because
mm-hmm. wisdom, the beginning of wisdom is, sorry, yeah, the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs says, is the fear of the Lord. And I think of somebody who's wise. When you think of somebody who's wise, what do you think of? I think of somebody who is old. Who's seasoned. They're mm-hmm. a seasoned vet. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're an old person. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean they have gray hair. It just means that they're a seasoned vet. They're
yeah.
old at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So what am I thinking about all the time these days? CrossFit.
Oh, yeah.
I'm always like, thinking about CrossFit.
Guys, it's like crazy. I mean, he talks about CrossFit every day. And
yeah.
I do too, because I do it with him. But like,
right.
it's like crazy.
So in the sport of CrossFit, okay, there's a gentleman, Rich Froning, and he is a seasoned vet. I mean, he's old. He's 34 years old, which is young.
That's not old.
But for a professional sport and a professional athlete, that's pretty old.
Did you say 34 or 43?
He's 34.
Oh.
And so, I mean, if you look across the board at professional sports, NBA, MLB, NFL, you know, 34-year-olds, if you're 34 years old and you're playing a professional sport, you're considered a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has wisdom mm-hmm. because of his tenure, you mm-hmm. know, of how long he's been doing it for.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we were watching the CrossFit Games this year, his team was competing and they fell behind early on. The first couple of events, they did not have the kind of finishes they wanted. And we're all sitting there, the announcers are talking, they're like, man, I don't know, this might be Mayhem's Freedom, which is his team, this might be Mayhem's Freedom year to not win it, you know, because they're known for winning.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you, I was watching them, and I said, I don't know why I feel this way, but it just seems like they're holding back, you know, because they were losing
mm-hmm.
early on in those events, but they weren't panicking, and they weren't
freaking out.
Yeah. Yeah, they just like knew exactly where they were
mm-hmm.
and they knew where they were is where they needed to be
mm-hmm.
and they had wisdom because of the seasoned experience they had
mm-hmm.
that they realized, hey, we're okay.
Yeah,
we're good here, you know. So they're in a tough situation and they're chill
yeah.
in it. What happens over the next 3 days? Things start to turn.
Dominate.
And
they
go, I mean, they dominate for like 6 events in a row. And they broke like a record of how many consecutive wins a team had. I mean, it was utter dominance. And I just think, man, wisdom. Wisdom is that. You know, they've got experience. And when we fear the Lord, because that is the beginning of wisdom, like we become that CrossFit athlete that when the hard situation's in front of us, you know, we don't panic. When we're in water, we don't act like we don't know how to swim and freak out.
Yeah.
We just sit there and we float,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah,
that was a rabbit hole, but where were you going?
I don't know. I know people that aren't old and they're wise. Like, I have some great friends.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But
it doesn't necessarily mean you're old.
Yeah.
It just means you have experience.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. Like, I honestly don't think of old people. I think of my friends who are so wise because they've had, like, this unattainable history with the Lord. Not necessarily history in years, but mm-hmm. history in situations where
yeah.
they have struggled and mm-hmm. they have literally, you know, given themselves to God because there's been nowhere else to go, and they've seen how he's taken care of them. So when I think of people who are wise, I think of my friends that so wise beyond their years. But it's because,
can you give them a little plug? Can you say their names?
Makeda.
Yeah,
she's
who I was thinking of.
Wise.
Too.
Oh my gosh.
She is.
She's literally like, I love her because she's so wise. Like, if I ever needed blunt mm-hmm. advice, or if I just needed, I don't know,
hard
she
truth.
Just,
I mean, she's
just
gonna
drops,
give it to you.
She drops the mic all the time, and I'm like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, and I don't know. There's just something special about how wise she is, and I've always seen that in her. And I don't like, I'm, and people have said that about me too, but it's nothing that we're doing other than like, we're making history mm-hmm. with God by letting him be in every situation of our lives. Like, if you're wanting to have that confidence and freedom that we're talking about, you have to let him in those situations. You have to choose to have freedom and confidence in him, because I mean, everything is a choice. I mean, it, just like you had to choose him over the old you and everything else, you know, in the past or whatever,
yeah.
you have to choose to walk in that freedom and confidence that he freely gives. I mean, everything
That's right.
of the Lord is freely given. So why would we choose anxiety and worrying about everything else and our identity and letting things that are temporary speak into our identity over something that is eternal? So, man, that's so deep.
Yeah.
some good stuff.
Yeah. So for the person, let's finish it. And I know how we're going to wrap it up. What you do should not speak into who you are. Mm-hmm. There's two sides of that. Mm-hmm. And most people fall into one of these two sides. There's side A, which is the optimistic side. These are good things that you can do, like I've mentioned. Maybe it's, you know, getting self-educated. Maybe it's, you know, being working a parent. Out. Maybe it's being a spouse. Maybe it's working out. Things that are all beneficial and have some value, the Bible says. They are terrible to speak into who you are. Now, but on the flip side to that, if you don't fall into that category, you might fall into this one, which is the side that says the things that you have done that are bad, that you're ashamed of, that's who you are.
Yeah.
And I just want to say in Jesus' name that that's a lie. Mm-hmm. The question becomes mm-hmm. this. Are you linked to Christ? Mm-hmm. Because if you're linked to Christ, that's not your reality. Mm-hmm. The Bible says you're a new creation. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, if you're not linked to Christ, then, you know, all have sinned and the wages of sin is death.
Yeah.
You know, who is faithful? Not even one. You know, we've all fallen short. And so that is your reality. Yeah. You know, if you're not linked to Christ, the bad things that you've done do define you.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, like, that's harsh, but that's true.
It's true.
And but like you said, it's freely given.
Yeah, it's your choice. And man, I just lost my train of thought again. Oh, what was I going to say? I don't know. Go ahead.
But that's it. So I just wanted to finish up just highlighting and showing light mm-hmm. that most of the time there's two sides to it.
I remember now.
Go for it.
So I think that one of the most paralyzing things in your walk with Christ is holding things against yourself that Christ has already forgiven you for.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like walking in chains when, like, it's freely given. Freedom is freely given. And you're choosing to walk in chains. And maybe you're not actively doing the same sin, but you're actively believing that that sin still defines you. That's the enemy trying to lure you back into what you had before, because he's trying to manipulate you and lie to you that you have to be this and do this and, like, you can't ever be a child of God because of what you've done. You're too, you know, too far mm-hmm. gone. And I'm not saying that I'm not excusing, like, I'm not accepting anyone's sin. You come as you are, but you don't stay as you are. So, anyways, just don't let the bad speak into you just as much as we don't let the good and what we do speak into you. I hope that this episode just gives you...
Hold on. Sorry. Before you wrap it up, I had something else I just thought of. So, you know, Satan oftentimes attacked Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
And when Satan did it in the wilderness, Jesus always confronted him with scripture.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, just... bear with me. If God had not told Jesus before Jesus had done any miracle or done any miraculous sign, and before his ministry had ever started, before that, if God had not spoken over his son, hey, you're my son and I love you, it would have been very easy for Satan at some point in Jesus' life, after he had done something amazing, to whisper in his ear, you know what, Jesus, God only loves you for the things you can do. Because how many, I mean, I didn't grow up this way, but I know so many people who did. They grow up with a father who they feel like the only way that they can earn the love of their father is by doing good things. Mm-hmm. They feel like the only way they can earn the love of their father is by doing good at sports. by having good grades, by making a lot of money and being successful at the status quo, you know, and what that means. I think that it would have been a great opportunity. That situation is something that Satan could have used, let's say, in the desert when Jesus was fasting. He could have said, "Hey, Jesus, you know, your father, he says he loves you, but he only loves you for the good things that you can do."
Mm-hmm.
Jesus could have answered him in that moment and said, "That's what you say, but my father said this about me before I even did anything good, that he loved me." And then Satan has to flee in that moment. So the point I'm trying to make here is that Satan is going to use those words. Hey, what you do is who you are. And he will lure you and entice you into it. But you have to be able to combat it by knowing what's true and what God has already said in his word, which is you're a co-heir with Christ. You know, you're a new creation, that you were a slave to sin, but now you're a slave to Christ, you know? And I'm going to tell you, being a slave to Christ is not what it sounds like. It's good. Yeah. It's a good thing.
You're not, you know, it's not like what everyone like. Yeah, it's
you
not
ain't got this, chains on you.
No, no. I'm going to end this episode with a challenge, and I'm going to say to our audience, ask yourself, who am I? Okay. Who are you? I know who you are. I know who I am. If someone asked me, Allie, who are you? If someone asked Kyle, who are you? You know, a lot of times we like to give them this, well, I love to work out. I am a worship leader. I love to speak. But no, that's not the kind of answer I'm looking for. Who are you? Your answer is going to be simple as, I am a child of God.
I'm a child of the one true King.
Yeah. And
from
period.
That, everything flows.
Period. And that's exactly what's okay. I am a child of God. And everything else I do is an overflow of what he's doing in me. It doesn't define me, but it's what he's doing in me, and that's just a reflection
freely
of who he is.
Freely you have been given, now freely give.
Yeah, it's just a reflection of who he is by what you're doing. It doesn't reflect who you are. It's just a reflection of who he is through what you're doing. So just ask that question and ask yourself, if you're in the car, if you're at home, if you're studying, whatever you're doing, who are you? Who am I? I am a daughter of God. I am a son of God. And everything else I do, list those things out that you do. You could even write this down. And that is an overflow of who he is in me. Doesn't define me. It's not where I find my identity. But because of whose I am, everything flows from that.
Yeah.
Everything flows from whose I am. So.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah.
So, you done?
Yeah.
All right, perfect. So, to end this episode, let's do something fun. Allie has a hat on today. So, if you're still with us on the podcast, 35 minutes in, Allie, hold up your hat next to mine. If you're still listening and you're on the YouTube, I want you to simply comment whose hat you like better.
If you are on Spotify,
and let's
if
say
you're on
this.
Spotify, my hat is light pink with, and it's the Adidas hat, and it's light pink, and it has the white box.
Adidas is a pagan word. Mine is a hunter green. It has a crown of thorns, a kettlebell on it, and it says Pathology, which is actually a Christian brand.
It
so.
Is, and we did an interview with
so
them.
So keep that in mind as you're voting. And also,
so silly.
If you can't decide on whose hat you like more, you can also vote for who wears it better.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it's over, babe.
You know that I'm
it's
winning.
Over.
You know that I'm winning. He's the one that bought the hat for me, okay? I was like, we went shopping yesterday. This is a total rabbit hole, and you can totally not listen to this part. But
so I'm serious. If you're listening to this, please do that. That will help us understand if people are listening all the way through. So please do that. All right. That's all.
Have a great week, guys.
Have a good week. We'll see you next time.